Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to hear everyone else talk about the ministries besides myself. So thank you, Bob and Carla and Scott. And Scott, that wasn't too long. I just, when I saw it, I was like, oh my goodness. But yeah, you just probably, so yeah, it was good. And I can't help but the flashback on, my mind goes back to some of those things and some of those moments where we weren't sure what was going to happen with this or that. And God always had to put his thumbprint on it so that we know that it was him. You know, it wasn't anyone or myself, the church. It was him doing what he needed to do. And so with the time I have, I want to share a couple of things with you. But if you have your Bibles, look over to chapter 10. We're going to be there. And I just want to just Luke chapter 10. Thank you for calling me out on that, Carla. Like you don't call me out on other things, right? Yes. I will tell you this. I'm not going to tell you the stories of those pieces that I would love to, but maybe I just want to just let you know next year we'll be celebrating 20 years. So we're going to celebrate very, very big next fall in 20 years. We're definitely going to have a lot of great plans for that. But so I'm not going to share those stories with you today. But what I will share, just as you're turning over there, that in the beginning, I want to tell you, there were very, very few people that believed what we were doing. In the community, Huntington's community, you know, the community here, even with my pastor peers, even with the Baptist Convention, there was a lot of people who just took a big step aside and said, oh, okay, we'll watch. So that has happened. But I want to tell you now, people are seeking us out on things, such as when we went to Florida. There are people that call often about our ministries, about how we do things and those kind of things. But the biggest piece of this ministry is not that we're doing them. It's just how are you doing them with as small amount of people as you have. And I think that is one of the biggest things. And we may never grow as a church to a point, but if God uses that as a spring for other churches that are 2 to 3 to 4 times bigger than us, so be it. We stay small so that they will do what God's called them to do, because we have been an inspiration to Illinois, we've been an inspiration to Alabama, inspiration to Mississippi, and a very big inspiration to Ohio and into Kentucky and into Florida. They see ministries all around them, but they do not see this many ministries being done by a church of this size. It still boggles my mind why this church is not at a higher attendance number. It's not because of the preaching. I'm just saying, just because of the things we do. Because if anybody's ever read Henry Blackaby's Encounter with God, it would always be this: if you don't have anything going on, find out where God is working and go there, just to serve. And, but again, on a side note, I believe we fight so much demonic influence, a lot of demonic power here, but it is not more powerful than God. I want you to know that right now. I believe the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God, the Trinity takes care of all that, but we are in a battle. And so be it. We'll be there. We're on the front lines fighting the battle, not just fighting the Bible, not just fighting a battle here as a church, but also in our ministries. And we cannot do that without the power of the Lord. Amen? So, and this is our, I want to say mill ministry, but it's also our Women's Life House. It's also all the other things we have planned. I do want to remind you that we do have planned over here next door, men's facility. We'll be working on that. That was supposed to be up and running this next month. I thought it was the 1st November. But because of this COVID thing, we lost all 7 of our mission teams. And I'll let you know, I think three of them and somebody out of Indianapolis is wanting to come up here next year. So we are getting a list already, but we may have to tell other churches, we're sorry, but you can't come this year because we're full. Wouldn't that be amen? Amen to that? Yes. So, one recently had sent, because they couldn't come, has sent a check last week for $1,000 so for the ministry. So that is very good. So, we may not be on the spectrum of what we think we ought to be on, but let me tell you, and God has got us out there all over the place, all over. We just received a call from Oklahoma, and they are dropping a semi-truck off across the street where we're having the roof put on. And if you are worried about what's going on, they will be back to work on Monday But there will be a semi on October the 29th. If you are not busy, we need your help. As many people as possible. We have a semi truck being pulled up. The guys next door are going to use their forklift and their jacks. I did get that done, Scott. So I got a confirmation for that. But we are going to take off, I think, 1,200 boxes. And each box is from 30 to 50 pounds. And there is a gallon of milk and food, 5 pounds of meat. We will be giving it to the community. And once it's dropped off, we're going to give it. We're going to put it in the paper. What we don't have left, we're going to be throwing it in some vehicles. And we're just going down the lowest income streets in Huntington, and we are going to put these on their doorstep. Amen? Amen. Amen. We received that call. I didn't call you, Bob, because you were on vacation. I didn't want to bother you. I didn't even call you about our buying house stuff anyway. Because I'll just tell you, when you're on vacation in ministry, you still get phone calls. And I did not want to bother you. But I will tell you, when the guy called me, I had 3 or 4 calls that night and that next morning. Jimmy, you got to answer the call. You got to take this call. You got to take this call. You got to call this guy out of Oklahoma. I was getting calls from everybody. So they were looking. I think it was like 7 counties or something. I mean, that's what they asked me. We know you're part of Huntington County. For some reason, was on their list. And then there were a couple other counties. I didn't know anybody. And then they said, you know anybody in Wells? I said, yes, I know Wells. First Baptist over here at Austin, where Brother Matthew is. So they took one over there as well. So we're excited about that. And a crazy friend of mine took 2 semis. But no. That's a lot. That's over 2,000 boxes. I don't want all. Yeah. So if you want to help, on October 27th, we're going to meet here at 10 o'clock, 29th. Sorry. 27th is my wife's birthday, so yeah, that's why. 29th at 10 o'clock here. We'll meet here across the street. We're going to do that. We need as many people as possible. Okay, I know most of you work. I get it. So we may have to partner with a few other groups, but we're going to do this thing. And it's going to feel good, isn't it? Because some of you asked me, when are we going to go out and prayer walk? When are we going to go out and have a block party? Well, we didn't get BBS in. We didn't have our concert cookout up the street. Well, we're going to get to do this. So it's going to feel good. And we are going to put a postcard, or we're going to put a church business card on it with the church information on services and the meal ministry, I think, on the back, or the one with the multiple ministries on it. Whatever, they're going to have information on who we are. Amen? I got to get going. In Luke chapter 10, we find a lawyer here who's asking Jesus a question. Basically, he comes to the end. But I want to tell you, this lawyer was not just a lawyer that was all about his business. He knew the word of God. Jesus asked him in verse 26, what is written in the law? What is the reading of it? Because he says, how do I inherit eternal life? And so in verse 27, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And then Jesus begins this story about the Good Samaritan. Now, he says in verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his animal, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, the lawyer said, he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. What we see is a lawyer wanting to find out, justify that he wanted to have some separation amongst those who he wanted to be separated from. But Jesus shares a story which is even bigger than that, so that we can learn that we are to love our neighbor. But our loving our neighbor isn't just saying we love our neighbor, but we have to put action behind it. Amen? But we have to be careful that we're not just doing a show-soul gospel, and that we're not beating people over the head with the gospel. And then we're not just doing it without sharing the gospel. There's got to be a medium in the middle here that you help people with their needs, but you also need to help them with their spiritual needs. You see, people with a need doesn't know many times that they need a spiritual need. But so many people have had a need that they know that when they go somewhere, they're going to get hit with the gospel and it's going to be forced down their throat. Now, sometimes I've heard it. This isn't against you ladies here at the Women's Life. I've heard, why do I need to go to church? We've had women that walked out of that Lifehouse because they said, well, I'm not going to go to church. Let me tell you this. I always say this. If your way was working, girl, you wouldn't be here. You would be somewhere else. But the same thing down at this meal ministry. It's the same thing there. It isn't that I'm angry, but sometimes you got to let the truth be said. We make bad decisions. We make bad choices. Listen, this is nothing against you that are on a disability. We have several here, but the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. But sometimes your body has it where you cannot work. I get that. It's understandable. But there are people who do not want to work. But we still give food. Because we have to work with them where they are. Amen? What we see here in the beginning, we see two individuals. We see a priest and a Levite. They see it, they pass by. Now, we know that the priest is not allowed to touch a dead person by law. Some would argue and saying that's why he didn't stop. But even Jesus says, hey, if your cow was out there, your ox was stuck in the mud, would you not help them? Christians, these are people that are supposed to know about God, and they walk around the situation. This is why the country club churches are dead. I'm just telling you. They walked around everything. They created a building for their own fun. They created a building for their own needs. They created stuff. I'm not saying you can't build a basketball gymnasium. I'm not saying you can't do those things. But if it's just for your inward of the church, there's a problem. But what we see is a certain Samaritan. Now, here's what I find out. The Samaritan is the one helping the individual, but the people who believe in God don't. And the Samaritan is considered like a half-breed. He is a person who is a dirty person. They were looked down lower. They looked down on Samaritans. But the Samaritan, what he did is along his journey, he had something that Jesus wants to teach. You need to have compassion. If you have compassion, when you have compassion, there'll be works behind it. A lot of people say they have it, but you'll know compassion by what they do with it. A lot of people talk. Now, some people can't get behind it physically. They get behind it financially. Okay? You need everybody. These ministries are $262,000 a year ministry. More than what this church takes in. That's separate from the church. Where's that money coming from? Can everybody just kind of put your chin up in the air and look up there? It's by him. The ministries next year will be twice as much as the church. Matter of fact, it's twice as much already. It'll be three times as much next year. We have come a long way. We have come a long way. You know, I've asked for some advice in the beginning of years. I still seek out some good mentors. And some of those guys were saying some things that I just, like, I had to go back and wrestle with and pray about. Many of them said, well, you need to have these five things in order first before you go to this. Scripture says you got to count the cost. And I get frustrated because I got to look at the scriptures. I got to see what the scriptures say because scripture is truth. Amen? So I've got to wrestle with that, but also know what the Holy Spirit is pulling and teaching and pushing us through. And I begin to see that, yes, we need to count the cost, but here it is. What is the cost? The cost is if you don't do it, you're not being obedient to the Lord. So I watched some of them, and I watched them, and their churches, some of their churches are just, they're just making it. But the Good Samaritan, he comes to this guy and he sees it, and he has compassion on this man. Now let me tell you, when he saw this man, the man was beat down, he was stripped, and he was naked, and he was half dead. Okay? Stripped, naked, wounded, beat up, half dead. Listen, this man that had the Samaritan, he is not going to get anything. He's not going to get anything back from this situation. Nothing. There's nothing that he's going to get from him. He knows what's going to do. It's going to take from him. Let me tell you, if you have compassion, you better expect there's going to be an investment. Time, talent, treasure. Y'all have heard that message before, right? The three T's. Time, talent, treasure. Basically, it's your time. It's what you're good at. It's going to be work. It's going to be time. And it's going to be funds. And we're going to see that with this individual. And he has compassion on him, and he went to him, and he saw it, and he bandaged his wounds. That means he had to take some things of his own self and to put on this individual. He had to put some clothes on him. He said, pouring on oil and wine. These are things that were very high commodity back then. You couldn't always drink the water. Okay? He used it. And he sent him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. So what does he do? As he finds this man, he begins to help him get himself together, and he's so beat down that he can't let him go. He's got to take care of him. He puts him on his animal, and then he takes him to an inn. Now, what does it look like today? It's finding somebody in the situation, maybe using your cars, using the things that you have, taking him to a motel. Now, motels are not cheap today. Here's what he does, something more than what anything that I've heard anybody else here do. Okay? What he does, he says, on the next day, he departed. The man stayed all night with his man. He was so beat down, he may not even going to make it through the night. So he turns around and he stays with this man, this broken man, this beat up man. He stays all night with him. And then he took out money out of his own pocket and he gave it to the innkeeper. And he said, take care of him and whatever more you need, whatever you spend on this guy, when I come back, I'll take care of it. This scripture tells us we are all supposed to be the Good Samaritan. Amen? We've all been the Levite from time to time. We've all been the priest time to time. We've walked around. Okay? We walked around. But I'm here to tell you we are all to do that today. But I also will tell you that we are another part of the scripture. We are an innkeeper. We are the innkeeper. Broken people come to this place. And believe me, we've seen parents bring their daughters to this place. We've seen aunts and relatives and grandparents in the office bringing their loved one to this place. And there's been times when they want to know what it costs. And we tell them it doesn't cost anything. Now let me tell you, there are ministries in town and that's okay. They charge a specific amount. Now, what we do, once they get a job, we say 10%. You know what that does? We can make it off that, but you know what that does? That teaches them responsibility that everything isn't free. Listen, nothing's free out here. If you get something free, somebody else had to pay for it. But it teaches that self self-respect again and self-confidence, okay? But this place, New Life Fellowship, with New Life Ministries, it is a place where people can come. There is no excuse for someone to go hungry in this county now, in the city of Huntington. Because we have a meal ministry that's open every day. And a person can live on one meal a day. Amen? And you have other food places around town that you can go and get things. And for the housing part, we did the shelter program. We did it for 61 days. And that was the hardest thing to do in the shortest amount of time. And it worked well. And it was hard at times. But we can't do that now. But we are still doing our women's shelter, our women's program, our women and children's. But we also have the house next door for men. We have the building across the street. This innkeeper, listen, when you go to a motel, sometimes that motel has more than one room, right? If you ever go to the Knights Inn, it's more. Here's the building. A motel usually is more. That's what God is continuing. Where much is given, much is acquired. So God has given us much, and it requires us to keep doing it and to get good at it. But he's also entrusted us. The rest of that scripture says where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. And God's entrusted us with a lot. And you're faithful with it, he's going to entrust you with more. And the things he's entrusting us with, the world sees it and some of us sees it as physical things. But he's seeing it as eternal things. $1 million building is nothing to God. But it may be for a church. A $50,000 building or house may be huge for a church. But it's nothing for God. For God owns everything on this earth. And that God blesses. But the scriptures also says, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is all his. It is all his. Now, last year, a couple of years ago, we were celebrating 2016, I believe, 15 years of this place. I had a message. If you were here, I had a big ring of keys. When we started, we had one key for the church key. And then we began to get more keys and more keys and more keys and more keys. You know what a key holder is? Jesus is the key holder. Does Scripture says he has the keys? God has entrusted us as holding keys. I don't know if that's sinking into you right now. But only by God's glory we are able to do what we do here. The building across the street, people still, I have gotten pushback on every ministry we've started. And it's going to happen. But even across the street, that building across the street, let me just share with you what I see there. What I see, when Bob asked me that, I hesitated for a moment. And me and Bob talked a lot about it. And we picked that building up for $20,000. And it is a worse mess than when we bought it. County was going to buy it, sat on it for 16 months. I just called and said, we're done. This building is not going to be even standing except for the stones on it in 12 months. So we need to do. So they backed out of it. The people that had it before destroyed a lot of it, but they also did some work, which was good. But that building across the street, this is what I see. This is what I feel like the Lord. This is what I see. I see that's where Christian counseling is going to be on a regular basis. I see that. We partner with the Bowen Center, nothing about the Bowen Center, but listen, we're about the Lord Jesus Christ, not worldly views, but Jesus Christ and his ways. Okay? I only see that over there, but I see training, I see classes over there. More of our training classes over there, so the women in the Life House and those places and the men's can go over there. Get away from the house, go over there to their class, over there with the material, just get out of that same setting all the time. I also see opportunities. I see opportunities to work within the community. But I also see opportunities to work with other ministries. I see an opportunity with the sanctuary, to use that sanctuary to do for pastoral conferences and Christian leadership conferences and training days over there. Not just with this church, but I'm talking about Midwest. But I'm also seeing in that area, in that sanctuary, having a good audio staging area where we can throw on some concerts. Acoustic set concerts. I'm looking at an area where we can invite the police department over there and acknowledge who they are. With the fire department, who they are. And lifting them up one day and praying for those who want to come. Maybe give them a token of something. Maybe a specific Bible that has a specific scriptures in it. Just something basic that we can give to them. Because what they need encouraged. This is why Satan is really putting the hammer down. Because if this gets off the way that, if this gets off, and it will, the way the Lord wants, this will be a light, not only to this county, not only to this region, but to the state of Indiana. And to churches across the country. And I believe the highlight will always be, what? And it'll throw every other thing possible out of their realm. It'll be this: how can a church that small do something so big? And we will always say, it's not us, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're not just believing he can do it, we can do all things through him, but we are experiencing that scripture. We can do it, but we can only do it through him. So there is a plan over there. There was a possibility of putting the shelter program over there. But there are plans and ideas. We're just praying through it. We have the house next door. That's the priority, to get the men's program up. Dream Center closed their house on Jefferson. It's closed. Their women's department is closed. We want the house on the corner, and we want the house. We want the apartment complex for family transitional housing. Family. We will be in $1 million a year budget. I thought I read that we can move, what? Mountains into a what? Into the sea. You see, we've had great faith. But much has been given. God's given us great faith. Much more will be asked for. And he gives us, if he asks more from us, he will supply us with what we need. And it will first start off with faith. You see, we think it first starts off with money. It first starts off with faith. Is God who he says he is? Now, there are some areas that my heart breaks in. Leading people to Christ. Baptisms have been down. But it's okay. Because that will happen. I believe if there is a chapter in the Bible that reflects who we are, this is it. This is what I share. Carla goes, you're going to share what you normally share? Yeah, but in a different way, because when I share this, when I go to different churches across in different states. Why? Then I always say, we are the innkeeper. New Life Fellowship is an innkeeper. And the name of it is New Life Ministries. And then this, I've seen this. Why are we not doing something? We have 250 people in our church. And I don't say anything. That's the Lord working on them. I don't have business getting into that. But he said, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he showed, and he said, he who showed mercy. Sometimes we don't think our church is merciful, but it is. Now, I don't think individually we have a lot of mercy, but I think collectively we have mercy. Mercy is hard for one person. I'm just telling you, mercy is hard for one person. Mercy is the person that comes in. When that person is guilty, they say, well, it's not just letting people get off free or out free. But let's work with what we got. So I think collectively as a church, we have a lot of mercy. But if we're going to go to the next level, we're going to have more mercy. And we're going to have to pray. When I look at this story, I see a guy who was a Samaritan. He could have been a lost guy. And I see he had more compassion than those who were believers in God. So the world is doing things. And the world should never outdo the family of God when it comes to helping people. So let's get in our heads this morning that God has much more planned, and I may not see all of it in my days, but it's okay because it's not my plan, it's God's plan. But we are here for such a time as this. I need every one of you to do your part. Every one of you. Do your part. I want to challenge you to start praying for this church in a way that you've never prayed for it. I know we need to pray about the election. We do. We need to pray about all that stuff in all of our country. We do. But I'm telling you, we need to pray about this church. We need to pray. We have the buildings or sides of this are starting to fall apart. The floor is all stained up and everything out there. We want to replace that. There's some things cosmetically that we have to fix that cost a lot of money if we would hire somebody to do it. So I just want you to pray. Just pray about New Life and New Life Ministries. Amen? Glad to be in the house of the Lord today? So here's my challenge for you today. We're going to have this altar call. If you are like the priests and Levites, maybe you need to pray and you need to ask God to soften your heart a little bit. Because I think Bob said it. It's not about all of it. It's not about us. Once you become a believer, God starts showing you it's not just about you anymore. Maybe you need a little help on that. Just a little bit. If you lost your joy in the Lord, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. And you need to get that right with God. Only you and Him can get that right. If you want to see more baptism and salvations, maybe you need to pray about that. That's what I'm praying for. You can pray that we get the finances we need. We're going to campaign. Starts today. All the funds that you give today is going to the ministries. Regardless, all of our funds are going to the ministries today. Just to give us a big jump. Just a big jump. Amen?